स्टेट पिकरिंग एजेंसी के राजा बादशाह 6472903773 6472903773.
यू आर लिसनिंग टू WTOR 770 AM यंगस्टाउन टोरंटो.
Assalamu alaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Stick around to be inspired.
Welcome, listeners, to another edition of A Muslim's Perspectives. And this is your host, Alim Ali. Today's selection from the Quran is taken from chapter 25, verses 67 to 76. Let's listen in.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
I seek God's protection from the rejected Satan.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the gracious, the merciful.
والذين إذا أنفقوا لم
And those who, when they spend, are neither extravagant nor niggardly, but adopt a moderate position in the middle.
وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما.
And those who call not on any other god along with Allah, nor slay a person whose slaying Allah has forbidden except for a just cause, nor commit adultery, and he who does that shall meet the punishment of his sin.
يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا.
Doubled for him shall be the punishment on the day of resurrection, and he will abide therein disgraced.
إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما.
Except those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds. For as to these, Allah will convert their evil deeds into good ones, and Allah is most forgiving, merciful.
ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإن
And those who repent and do righteous deeds indeed turn to Allah with true repentance.
وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا.
And those who bear not false witness, and when they pass by anything vain, they pass by with dignity.
وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا.
And those who, when they are reminded of the signs of their Lord, fall not down thereat, deaf and blind.
وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا.
And those who say, Our Lord, grant us of our wives and children the delight of our eyes, and make us a model for the righteous.
أُولَئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ
It is such as will be rewarded with lofty chambers in paradise, because they were steadfast, and they will be received therein with greeting and peace.
خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما.
Abiding therein. Excellent it is as a place of rest and as an abode.
Yes, indeed. We have been listening to the Quran, chapter 25, verses 67 to 76. On the line, we have Ustad Faisal Baksh. Assalamu alaikum, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
First, let me remind the listeners something of yourself. Ustad Faisal has a lifelong history of teaching and coaching Muslims in the theology and practice of Islam. Ustad is also a licensed family counselor, assisting in resolving spousal issues and helping parents navigate raising children in the society. Ustad, can you give us a brief further explanation on the verses recited?
Yes, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I begin in the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. So when we look at these verses, we see a framework, a model of divine guidance, where the comprehensive, holistic, and integrated aspects of the human being are being briefly addressed and described within this framework of divine guidance, within this paradigm that is rooted in a merciful conduct, an uplifting conduct, and mercy-giving living as well. And we see it, God Almighty is addressing at multiple levels, individual, family, communal, and societal levels, and as well the spiritual, moral, social, and legal aspects. So what I wanted to do is to briefly comment on these and sort of frame them within each of the parameters that I just mentioned. But we need to start a little bit earlier than what was recited today. In verse 63, God Almighty is describing the qualities, the characteristics of the slaves of the most merciful one, God Almighty. And this is a pertinent descriptive title, because at the end of the day, God Almighty wants us to live a life of merciful conduct and mercy-giving living. So, where does it start? It starts with conduct and relationships. So God Almighty that indicates and describes, they exude a calm, humble disposition and one not indicative of arrogance, of pomp, of glory, of power and might, etc. So notice how the very first line of the description is indicative of this. And what does God say in the English translation? There, in his description, they are those who walk on earth modestly. And when the ignorant address them, they say, peace. It means their entire outlook, their entire disposition is indicating here an outlook that is quite modest, quite humble, and not walking as if they own the world, so to speak, or own the earth. And at times when one is engaged in living life, one encounters situations and challenges that would disturb this disposition. How does one address it? One says, peacefully, calmly, I don't want to engage in this. And really, if one observes this kind of approach, we would have a world that is a little bit more facilitated towards good relationships. Then Almighty describes the spiritual aspect of the human being, and those who pass the night before their Lord prostrating and standing, and those who say, O Lord, avert the suffering of hell from us. Its suffering is continuous. It is a miserable residence and destination. So we see in this particular reference here, these two references, God Almighty is saying that in order for you to be accommodated and meet the qualifications of the slaves of the Most Merciful One, it comes back to the spiritual underpinning, the spiritual foundation. And so, who pass the night before their Lord, prostrating and standing. So this is extra. This is not the regular sort of prayer that one does per day. And they have their eyes set in the afterlife. And so they're asking God Almighty to accept what their struggles are and accept their shortcomings and accept all that and remove them from the suffering of his retribution in the afterlife. Then God Almighty says at the level of personal and social responsibility, balanced living, merciful living, and those who when they spend are neither wasteful nor stingy, but choose a course in between, so they are balanced in their outlook, including the way they spend, including the way they approach life. So we have this indication here and this reflection on personal and social responsibilities. And by the way, God Almighty is briefly covering these things. Obviously, in other parts of the Quranic revelation, one can get some significantly more details. And then comes a personal, societal, and moral parameter, these parameters. And those who do not implore besides God any other God. So here, one locates themselves towards recognizing and believing in a supreme deity who created them, who sustains them, and to whom they owe all gratitude. So they don't commit what we call shirk, associating partners with God Almighty in any dimension, in any things to do with our worships, with our behavior and conduct. So that's the first thing. The second is do not commit murder. So here God Almighty is preserving, and that murder is not only at an individual level, but collective level. And how far have we removed ourselves from this divine guidance? So do not take a soul, and it didn't say here believing soul or non-believing soul, it just said do not endeavor to take a life, except when in pursuit of justice. And we know how that is applied legally. And then the third is a moral compass, and do not commit adultery, do not commit lewd and immoral conduct, meaning guarding human conditions and guarding human family dynamics and relationship. And then God Almighty mentions at the end of this verse a severe penalty, whoever does that. So we have this severe consequences mentioned in these major crimes against humanity. And so when we look at the world and the condition we find ourselves in, we can see how all these are violated and people are not paying attention to the eventual outcome. So there are severe consequences. And in mentioning that, God Almighty says the punishment will be multiplied for him on the day of resurrection and remain in that state forever humiliated. But God gives us an opportunity that if you fall into error, if you encounter weak moments, and one is becomes remorseful and then repents, what occurs? God Almighty says, except for those who repent, believe, and perform good deeds. These, God Almighty, will replace their bad deeds with good ones, for God Almighty is ever forgiving, most merciful. And whoever repents and acts righteously has returned to God Almighty in repentance. And those who, when they're reminded of their revelations, when they're corrected, when they are, admonished, they do not fall against them deaf and blind, meaning they humbly receive these reminders and these corrections. And again, this ties back to the arrogant way of behavior and conduct. Then God Almighty moves on to the legal and moral, and those who do not bear false witness. Right? So that's the first one. And when they come across indecencies, they pass by with dignity. So these are people, the slaves of the most merciful Creator. They are the people of dignity, of honor, of people who avoid immoral, lewd conduct. And really, these are stark reminders that if we want to be among those who God Almighty is describing here, it gives us a step-by-step almost of what to do and what to avoid. And then God Almighty mentions next about the family and those who say, our Lord, give us comfort in our spouses and offspring and make us good examples for the righteous people. So be on guard with the family to take care of the family unit, to it be an institution that is caregiving, that is cooperative, that is collaborative. And one of the things that it's highlighted here is the notion of praying for the other and praying for one's offspring, making applications and striving to be a good example for the righteous people. And then God Almighty ends the discourse by talking about the ultimate outcome, the good outcome. It is they who will be rewarded and awarded the chamber, meaning paradise, for having persevered, and will be greeted there with salutations and peace, remaining in there forever. It is an excellent residence and destination. So this serves as a motivation. It serves as an incentive. It serves as a purpose where one doesn't get caught up with the worldly life and forget what the ultimate outcome will be, as God Almighty's promise is always true. And we ask God Almighty to make us amongst those who will be the recipient of this ultimate outcome once we strive in this world to live a life of mercy, uplifting conduct, and mercy-giving living.
And may Allah protect and preserve you.
Ameen. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Alaikum salam.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted, 'cause I know that one day to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me. I do forget that my next breath could be the last. Forgive me, cause I can't thank you enough. Forgive me when I doubt your love. Now I pray for that day when all this stops and comes to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.
Guide me all the way. And tomorrow we set aside a day to commemorate Mother's Day. Yesterday, Sheikh Waleed As-Salahat, the scholar in residence at Noon Academy, which is on 12 Rutherford Road South in Brampton, Queen and Rutherford, he gave a pertinent khutbah, a jummah, and I'm going to give you a bit of the extract. And here he speaks about the station of motherhood.
Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked him a question, seeking his guidance. Said, O Rasulullah, who among the people is most deserving of a fine treatment from my hand? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him, your mother. The man said, then who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, again, it is your mother who deserves the best treatments from you. The man said, then who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, again, it's your mother. The man said again, then who? Thereupon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then it is your father. It's a wonderful hadith, we all know. But one of the most beautiful signs, magnificence of beauty of Islam, is that the religion of Allah, the Islam, built its legislation upon great and unique foundations. And some of these foundations is ar-Rahmah, compassion, the mercy. Mercy is one of the main foundations the entire religion of Allah builds on, which means to express and show the mercy to everyone around you as much as possible, as much as you can, in all conditions, in all situations, in all times. The second great foundation that the Islam religion and all its legislations were built on is al-wala, loyalty, which means to show your loyalty to those who have favor upon you, to those who care about you, to those who love you. And the third foundation of the religion of Islam that the entire religion built on is al-irfanu wa taqdir, respect and gratitude. These are very important, which means to appreciate the people who are looking after you and to appreciate what you receive from them, if this one was the creator or it was the creation. These are three important foundations of Islam: compassion, loyalty, respect and gratitude. The relationship between children and their parents is not just an emotional relation that you take it when you need it only. And it's not a business relation that's built on interests and benefits from one side, from the other one. It is a foundation of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you do believe in Allah, you do believe in that relationship with the parents. These three foundations I just mentioned are the foundation of the relationship between children and their parents, and especially the mother. And this relationship with these three foundations, it must continue in the life of man all the way from beginning all the way till the last second of his life. Mother in Islam is the first school exist in shaping the human being, laying the foundations upon which all life is built and protected. Mother is a very unique creature from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the mother is the first teacher ever in life. Mother is the first love. Mother is the first touch. Mother is the first word. Mother is the first mercy. Mother is the first care. Mother is the first tenderness. Mother is the first nourishment. Mother is the first prayer. Mother is the first feeling. Mother is the one whom Allah entrusted among His creation and chose for the greatest mission known to the entire life. And that mission, to carry His deputy, the Khalifa of Allah, Al-Insan, and to bring him into this world. Then, to nourish the Khalifa of Allah, to teach the Khalifa of Allah, to prepare the Khalifa of Allah, to fulfill the purpose for which he was created. Look and reflect from the very beginning of the creation of a human being. And look at how the human being is created for every stage and phase of a human creation. Takes place only within the womb of his mother. And a human being does not become a truly human being unless the mother's womb accepts him. Only then does he become something of worth. Otherwise, that human being has no value, will just go away. So that teaches us for the hikmah of the creation of Allah that we should not ignore, and we should comprehend deeply that the mother's womb is the first factory of the human being, physically and spiritually. And this is among the greatest honors to the human being. It is the same honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the human. So the human being does not receive their soul, that soul which is the secret of his honor and true value in life, except within the womb of their mother. What gives the human the value is that soul, the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that elevates him, gives him that value. And where the human will be honored with the most important gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that happens inside the womb of his mother. This is among the greatest honor of all the human being. It is the very honor with which our father Prophet Adam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which that he causes the angels to prostrate and make sujood to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam because of that unique honor. The fact here is that this dignity and nobility are not granted to the human being except inside the womb of their mother. Why Allah designed it like that? There is a hikmah behind that. So that womb of the mother is what makes the human valuable. So remains and keeps you connected and back to the three first foundations we mentioned at the beginning of the khutbah. How great then the status of mother in Islam. Then, after 40 days, the angel comes to write the course of the human being's life, the entire course of life. And where that happens, the angels comes into the womb of the mother, inside that womb. That is the first time the human being meets his angel to write the course of their life inside the womb of the mother. Then the angel writes what Allah has decreed for the person until the very end of their life, which means the entire journey of a human being is written within the womb of their mothers, from beginning to the very end. And there is a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about the details of this writing happens inside the womb of the mother. Is he a male or a female? A shaqi or sa'id, a miserable or at least a happy person is, and how long to live, and everything about their life. So that's why the side note is very important to pay attention to the feelings of the mothers towards your life. When the mother suggests something to you about the decisions you want to make about your life, it's very important to listen to those feelings. Even if the mother doesn't have sometimes a logic reason to explain to you why this might be good, because there is a feeling to the humans being their children. It's happened and created within their soul. They have some of that connection with the destiny of their children.
We are listening to Sheikh Waleed Salahat from Noon Academy as he delivered a pertinent khutbah on motherhood yesterday at Noon Academy, 12 Rutherford Road South. That's Queen and Rutherford. He's a scholar in resident there. We'll continue with that after we listen to a bit of spoken word from Talk Islam production, Dear Mom.
To the woman that loved me before I was born, to the woman that held my heart long before it had formed, to the woman who was left sleepless from dusk until dawn, with weakness upon weakness for 9 months long, telling herself it would all be worth it soon as she rests assured, for when she finally made it through to that hospital ward, it was love at first sight the second she saw me. I mean, she's a type that would give up her only slippers just to make sure that my toes were warm. See, she would always favor me despite the fact she always needed it more. She would wake up early every single morn to stand freezing in the cold, hanging up the clothes we had worn, standing at the stove for hours, cooking bowls of food we would swarm. And whenever we weren't home, her heart would be torn. I mean, she could never ever sleep whenever we were gone. She would stay up all night next to the phone, although I would never call. So she sends me text messages, please, I can't sleep, just let me know that you're safe and secure. And whenever I was sick, she would always know what was the cure. I mean, the love she gave to me was the best medicine that was pure. A prescription of tea, honey, and handmade lemonade. What more could I ask for? Alhamdulillah, all praise to the Lord. You did it all for me and not once ever asked for a reward. I mean, I still remember the nights when I was small. I could never go to sleep until I would call to you out from the bedroom door. Ghatini wa bosini, tuck me in and kiss me please, and you would always be there for sure. See, the love you gave to me for all these years, it's impossible to ignore. I love you, Ya Ummah. And I'm sorry I've never told you all this before. I'm sorry for everything, Mom. I'm sorry for it all. I'm sorry for leaving you as soon as you taught me how to crawl. I'm sorry for saying oof every time you would ask me to complete a simple chore. It doesn't make me less of a man to give you a hand whenever your arms get sore. I'm sorry again and again for all the promises I fell short. And I'm sorry I can't give you the life you wish for, the car you dreamt of, and the countries you wish to explore. But most of all, I'm sorry for all the pain that I caused, for the nights you didn't sleep, and for all those missed calls, for all the fights we had, and for all the broken walls, the dirty room with the messy floors, and for the clothes that weren't packed back into their drawers, and for all the sacrifices you made that I never once ever recalled. Like when you became my mother, I meant to try to move away from yours. I know how much you love her and miss her, and I know it cuts you deep like a sword. But if it was up to me, I'd let you see her as much as I can afford. So I promise to make it up to you and become the son that you've always adored from now on. So forgive me. Forgive me for it all. Forgive me for everything I've ever done, ever since I was young, stupid, and dumb, just looking to have fun. Dear Mom, I love you. I love you. I promise to never put anybody else above you, nor let anybody come in between. And even if I get married, I promise you will always be my queen. Because there's no words in this world that can let you know how much you really mean to me. Nor is there anywhere in this world that I could ever repay you. So instead I pray every day for you, that Allah has mercy on you the same way you had mercy on me. And I have one last request for you before you leave, please. Since Allah put paradise beneath your feet, please ask Allah to let paradise be the place where we finally meet. Ameen.
indeed. Let's continue now with Sheikh Walid Salahat, scholar in resident at Noon Academy, as he finishes the khutbah on the mother.
So after all of this, what remains for a human being? When everything connected to the man was completed totally and prepared within the womb of their mother. After realizing all of this, what would you expect Allah to ask from us as a human? Boy, Allah did all of this. And what is the next thing coming from Allah? What Allah is going to ask me to do? The answer is that, is not Allah the Lord of excellence? Is not Allah the Lord of mercy? Is not Allah the Lord of gratitude and appreciation? أليس الله رب الإحسان رب الرحمة رب العرفان والتقدير. So what do you think he would ask from us? As he said in Surah Ar-Rahman, not any Surah, Ar-Rahman. Is there any reward for goodness other than goodness? A question that does not require an answer from you. It's already answered itself by itself. And where this important question appear in the Quran? In Surah Ar-Rahman. So look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the adab, the beautiful manners. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my Lord had taught me and raised me with these akhlaq, and he did such a great job. So that is the adab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches his creation. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants within our hearts those three foundations, the rahmah, compassion, al-wala, loyalty, wal-irfan wal-taqdeer, respect and gratitude. Let's listen to Allah, what He says about that. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him, and that is the Tawheedullah, the oneness of Allah, and do good to your parents. If any one of them, or both of them, reach old age, do not say to them, uff, a word of expression of anger. And do not scold them, and address them with respectful words. And submit yourself before them in humility, out of compassion. And say, here Allah is teaching us how to supplicate, how to pray for our parents. Allah Himself is teaching us the dua, how to pray for our parents. Say, my Lord, be merciful to them as they have brought me up in my childhood. Such a beautiful ayah to remember the contract that Allah created between us and our parents, that these are the rights of our parents named by Allah, and something we must do and do with love. It's not an optional I get to choose if I want to do it or not. In this beautiful ayah, Allah is teaching us that the concept of worship in our deen, in our religion, is far greater than merely outward actions and physical movements. Don't ever think the ibadah in Islam, the acts of worship, is just outward actions. Allah doesn't care about that. The concepts of ibadah, of worship, is way greater than that. When you're understanding every nafas, every movement, every moment in your life will be transformed into an ibadah action. A rewardable action, a rewardable thoughts, a rewardable feelings within your heart. The ibadah in Islam, rather, worship is the shaping and refinement of the human being, so that the human being can be and can become exactly the way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be. If we look deeper in this wonderful ayah in the Quran, how Allah combined between the oneness of Allah, the tawheed of Allah, believing as Allah is one, and the obedience and being respectful to parents. What brought this to that? What brought this to that? So, how Allah combined between believing on Him as one God, which means La ilaha illallah, and honoring one's parents. So, if we look deeply, we will find that Tawheedullahi aslu al-haya. That the oneness of Allah is the foundation of the all existence and life. And al-walidain as well, aslu hayat al-insan wa dhuhurihi fil wujud. And parents are the foundation of a human being's existence and appearance in this world. So had it not been for Allah, life itself would never have come into being. And had it not been for the parents, the human being would never have existed as well. But if we look now to the Quran, when you read the Quran from beginning to the end, you will notice that Quran talks about the mothers. Mothers. A lot. And not only that, Quran focuses on mothers and highlighted specific things about mothers. So, to understand for us what Allah is teaching us and what Allah wants to tell us and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is changing us and improving us. When the Quran talks about the mothers, Quran focuses on a specific sides of their lives. And each side and each aspect of their life that's been highlighted in the Quran itself is a full, completed school can raise a human being and bring them to the closest level to the angels. A teachings without books. A teachings without words. A teachings without teaching. It's just the nature by itself. And the examples of those aspects that the Quran highlighted about the mothers, tab, the tiredness that the mothers go through their life. Sabr, the patience that the mother observe and brood in their life. The fear of the mother is being highlighted in the Quran. The sacrifice of the mothers highlighted in the Quran. The strength of the mothers is highlighted in the Quran. The courage of the mother is highlighted in the Quran. The certainty, the yaqeen of the mother is highlighted in the Quran. The tawakkul, placing their trust in Allah, of the mother is highlighted in the Quran. The iman of mothers is highlighted in the Quran. The stability, the uprightness of the mother is highlighted in the Quran. The purity of the mothers is highlighted in the Quran. The modesty of the mothers is highlighted in the Quran. The haya, the adab, the great manners of the mothers is highlighted in the Quran. The concern, the worries of the mothers is also highlighted in the Quran. The worship of the mothers is also highlighted in the Quran. Now, do you know that? Do you know that all of these aspects about the mothers is being highlighted in the Quran? That's a great amount. That's a great amount to talk about. Not just talk about the mothers, talk about details of their life, talks about their faith, talks about their feelings, talks about their thoughts, talks about everything about the mothers in the Quran. And do you think this is has no wisdom, no reason behind it? For sure there is. And there are so many mothers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about in the Quran. So we'll let the Quran talk by itself and tells us about these mothers. The first mother that Allah talks about is the mother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. She has such a great story in the Quran. Now, when you think like she's a mother of the Prophet, she might have a comfort life, a wonderful life without challenges. But you know, closer you are to Allah, the higher the bill you pay, because your reward is really high. Allah talks about her fear about her baby. Allah talks about her jihad and her struggle to preserve and save the life of her baby. Allah talks about her tawakkul, trust in Allah. Allah talked about her sacrifice for the sake of Allah. Allah talked about her yaqeen, her certainty on Allah. After going through the pregnancy months and the tiredness and what mothers face, which is we as men, we will never be able to understand that. But may Allah reward them. After going through all of that, and when it comes to deliver the baby, it's the time for the mother to kind of find some rest to rebuild herself physically and psychologically. At that time, she entered, after that difficult times of 9 months, she entered into a harder test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your baby is going to be killed by someone in the city. What you going to do? There is no place to escape. Nothing at all. But that baby is chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately, the divine inspiration comes into her heart with a certain, she believes in that this what just came into her heart is from God. And immediately she finds herself obeying that feeling. Something she felt inside her heart tells her, put your baby in a basket and throw him in the river. Just let the river take care of him. Now she tried to save him from a death that is 100% there, and to put him in a risk that's also 100% that he will not survive. But even the first, she might find a way to save him. They might skip the house, they might come in, they might leave, they might. There is some any chance. But putting him in a basket and throw him in the river by himself, what is the chance that he will be safe at that time? Nothing at all, zero. But what made her do that? To understand how the hearts of the mothers are well connected to Allah when they turn their heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how Allah cares and understands her feeling. Immediately she got that strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she were able to put her son, her baby, in that basket and throw him in the river. And look at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, couldn't Allah save Sayyidina Musa in other way? Allahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. He has the power over everything. Allah can do anything. Allah could have done this millions of ways that Allah can save Prophet Musa. But why has to go through this way? Why through his mother? Ah, subhanAllah. There's a lesson for that, to understand for us how mothers are great, how mothers are strong, and how mothers have the ability to carry those type of difficulties and tests from Allah, and we never collapse them. They are strong just as mountains. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, proving for us the strength and the power of the mothers, that no one should deny at all. That's why Allah made the mother a school to the entire human being.
That's Sheikh Waleed As-Salahat from Noon Academy as he addresses the issue of the station of motherhood in Islam. You know, the Prophet ﷺ lost his mother when he was 6 years old. She died. So let's listen to an incident that occurred in his life.
The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his mother when he was 6 years old. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother died on the journey from Medina to Makkah at a place called Al-Abwa. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling from Medina back to Makkah, everybody that was traveling with him, the whole caravan, the whole army, he said, stop here. And a few people that were close with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went with him. And he went and he sat down at a grave. And he sat down there for a little while. After a while, he started to cry. He started to sob. He cried so severely that literally he was sobbing. His whole body was shaking. The Sahaba that were there, you know, when you see somebody that you love in pain, it causes you pain. They didn't even understand. They didn't know what this was about. But some of the other Sahaba started to cry by seeing the Prophet ﷺ crying so bad. Umar radiallahu anhu finally went and he hugged the Prophet ﷺ from behind. He grabbed him. And he said, it's okay, it's okay. He consoled the Prophet ﷺ. And so the Prophet ﷺ was able to contain himself. And then they asked, what makes you cry like this, O Messenger of Allah? And he said, this is the grave of my mother. And coming here and visiting here reminds me of my mother. And I miss my mom, and that's why I cry. He was 6 years old. How much time had he spent with his mother? 50 years later. He's a grandfather at this point. He's the messenger of Allah at this point. But he misses his mom, and he cries for his mother. And so that's the importance. So before you complain about your parents, before you, you know, are ungrateful about your parents, realize what a blessing parents are. And go and ask someone who doesn't have their parents what they would trade to be able to spend another moment with their parents.
Indeed. Until next week, listeners, thank you. Peace out. And I leave you with Mo Ali and De Shahada.
La ilaha illallah.
No God but Allah.
Muhammad Rasulullah.
Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
I bear witness that
there is no God but Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no
AM, Youngstown, Toronto.
The views expressed on the preceding program may not necessarily be those of the owner or management of WTOR radio station.
Truck servicing ke vich Ontario da Mohrina Quick Truck Lube. Tusi ik truck chalone ja fleet hegi je tohada time value rakhda. Appointment bhi lord nahi, first come first served. State of the art facility, trained technicians rahi, best high grade oils filters, engine di jaan vadaunde. Hor ki chahida? Tin location a to tuhadi seva karde. QTL, exit 268 highway 401 Cambridge, exit 579 highway 401 Napanee, exit 5 QEW Fort Erie. Service or quality vich sab to parmukh na. QTL 5196220660. Jo aave so razi jaave.
अपने प्यारों को पैसे भेजें लैम फाई के साथ अब आसानी और एतमाद के साथ बेहतरीन रेट्स और मुकम्मल सिक्योरिटी के साथ आज ही ट्रांसफर करें लैम फाई LEMFI साइन अप करते वक्त रेफर कोड E10 का इस्तेमाल करें और अपनी पहली ट्रांजैक्शन पर 100 या उससे ज्यादा भेजने पर $20 कैशबैक हासिल करें और बस यही नहीं अपने दोस्तों और फैमिली को भी रेफर करें और हर रेफर पर आप दोनों पाएंगे $20 तो आज ही विजिट करिए lamfi.com LEMFI.com
मेरी पूरे साल की सेविंग $400 हुई है
मेरी सेविंग $350
और मेरी सेविंग सबसे ज्यादा हुई है मैंने सेव किए हैं $2000
क्या चमत्कार किया मुझे भी गुर सिखाओ ना
हमारे पास दो गाड़ियां और एक घर है और इन सब की इंश्योरेंस मिलाकर मैंने जबरदस्त सेविंग की है आप भी अपनी गाड़ी और घर की इंश्योरेंस में खूब सेविंग कर सकते हैं टर्म एंड कंडीशन अप्लाई ऑल स्टेट पिकरिंग एजेंसी के राजा बाशर 6472903773 6472903773
Canadian Society of Peace and Relief
and Green Dome Islamic Schools Project के तहत
पेश करते हैं mesmerizing spiritual Sufi Qawwali evening with Ali Zafar.
Salam जो आपकी रूह में
है. Salam mai bhujiye mat Paramount Fine Food Center 5500 Rose Cherry Place in Mississauga.
Visit ticketmaster.ca.
Sponsorship या फिर टिकट के लिए कॉल कीजिए direct Amit Shamsi 416662 7861 या फिर 416-904-2046
अपनी कम्युनिटी दा सब तो वड्डा वधिया क्वालिटी वाला ते सब तो पुराना सोडी फर्नीचर हर घर दी पहचान बन चुकी है।
ओ फिर बने भी क्यों ना, क्योंकि बेडरूम सेट, सोफा सेट, मैट्रेसेस, डाइनिंग टेबल, डेकोरेटिव आइटम्स, गल कीजी सारे घर दा फर्नीचर वधिया क्वालिटी ते डिस्काउंटेड प्राइस ते मिल जांदा। सोडी फर्नीचर तो 3 साल लई नो ब्याज।